It's opening day here on the jump. I don't even know if we're ready. Who's to say?
We never had no offseason.
There you go. I am Rachel Nichols alongside, I'm so happy they're back in the studio, NBA champ Richard Jefferson, 2008 Finals MVP Paul Pierce. Guys, we have a packed show here for opening day. Coming up, Commissioner Silver said yesterday the league is discussing the possibility of expansion, adding teams in the near future. Is this good news finally for Sonics fans, for our friends in Las Vegas, Vancouver? Stick around, we'll find out. But first, so every year, the start of every NBA season is a bit of a leap into the unknown. Will the favorites actually win? Will the players tabbed for big breakouts actually have them? Will one team take a secret back hallway to burst into the other team's locker room? I mean, you never know. Still, even for a league that can light the internet on fire on any given night, we have never kicked off the season with mysteries as the season we are kicking off tonight. Forget not knowing who the rookie of the year is going to be. We don't even know if all the games are going to take place on the nights they are scheduled to, or what the back half of that schedule even is. Think about this. We have an NBA team, the Raptors, who don't know what city they will be playing in come April. That is crazy. Much like with the bubble, the teams that can best handle all this uncertainty are the ones being predicted to thrive. Caesars William Hill says more money has been bet on the Lakers to repeat than has been bet on every other team combined.
Wow.
Having LeBron and AD certainly helps there too. And tonight we're going to get a taste of how motivated the defending champs really are with another LA versus LA showdown at Staples Center. Will the Lakers pregame ring ceremony feel special even without fans in the building?
Yep.
Will the Clippers be attacking the court like a team with something to prove?
No.
Or will they once again seem to be going through the regular season treading water? Again, we don't know, just like with tonight's other opening game, Warriors-Nets. This was supposed to be one of the spicier matchups at the start of the season with Kevin Durant facing his former fellow co-stars, except Klay is out for the year with an Achilles injury, and Draymond is going to miss tonight's game too with a sore right foot. Still, it's going to be pretty wonderful to see Kevin Durant's first official game in 18 months. So far, he's looked as fluid as ever and comfortable, too, alongside Kyrie, who, frankly, he can burn as much sage as he wants if he keeps performing this kind of magic around the hoop. KD has been trying for years to take the title of the league's best player. Is this the season he manages it? Yeah, again, we don't know. We also don't know where James Harden, a player who has finished top five in MVP voting six of the past 7 years, we don't know where that kind of player is going to be finishing out his season. The Rockets are so far holding firm on not trading him until they get a blockbuster offer. Then again, The Athletic reported that James threw a ball at a teammate in practice recently, so yeah, we'll just have to see how all this goes. Which, I guess, is the official motto for this season. We'll see how this goes. It's not what we expected, but nothing right now is. And there's also something pretty cool about feeling like we're in a basketball moment where, for once, truly, anything can happen.
Anything.
Anything. And Paul Pierce will have his phones ready. We are so pumped for the doubleheader tonight on TNT. The Lakers are going to get their rings, right? So there'll be, there'll be sort of a celebratory atmosphere, right? And the first game of the night, we get to watch KD's first game against the Warriors. So, look, in honor of that long-awaited matchup, we're going to run back some of the most memorable reunion games in recent memory.
Aw.
Christmas Day, 2004.
That was warm.
Yeah. Jack's first game back in L.A. against Kobe after getting traded to the Heat.
Yeah. Who ended up winning the championship that year? Who did?
I think the Heat won.
No, they
the Pistons.
Pistons won. They won it the next year.
Stop trolling, Richard. On December 2nd, 2010, LeBron played his first game back in Cleveland after taking his talents to South Beach.
How do you think that went?
People threw batteries at this game.
Yeah, well,
at these guys.
The cool thing is they were going to be cheering for him just 3 years later.
That's just little did they know.
Little did they know.
November 3rd, 2016, we can't forget this one. KD playing his first game against Russ after leaving OKC for Oakland.
Yeah, he went off right here. Right?
Yeah, look at that. Look at it.
Oh. And then Russ had a little fire.
Canter
getting into it.
Still friendly.
You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
They're friendly now. All right, so of our opening night matchups tonight, Richard, which is the most intriguing to you, Nets-Warriors or Clippers-Lakers?
If it wasn't for all the injuries in the Warriors game, the Nets-Warriors game, I would pick that. But I think the Clippers-Lakers, there was so much drama. Obviously, there's been so much offseason change for the Clippers. So, and even the Lakers, their addition. So I think that's going to be the most intriguing matchup all year long. People are picking the Lakers, but people are watching the Clippers to see how this all this change works out.
Yeah, I agree with you. If Draymond had been playing, and would have been able to match it with KD, that would have caught my eyes a little bit more. But since that's not happening, it's got to be the Lakers.
Clippers. Draymond's going to start stuff.
Yeah, he's going to start something. You know, they had their little beef.
Even if it's fabricated, he's just going to be like, you ain't on this side no more.
That would have gave me more interest in that game. But since that's not happening, I got to say the Lakers and the Clippers. The Clippers should have, like, a chip on their shoulder.
Do you think the Clippers should be coming out tonight?
Like, I would be, like, so disappointed, because that season was disappointing to them that they didn't even get to the conference finals.
Right.
And so the ring ceremony tonight, you know what I'll be doing? I'll be sitting out there taking notes. Like, look, fellas, that should have been us. I'm taking notes. This is going to be us next year getting our rings on opening night.
Yeah.
So I'm taking notes. I'm not, a lot of teams like to go to the locker room.
Sit there and watch it.
Let's sit there and watch and take the notes and let this be a learning experience for y'all to be able to come back next year and have y'all ring ceremony.
You know Ty Lue well. Do you think he's going to have his team sitting out there?
Yeah, but I'm going to say this. A couple days later, that's the more intriguing game. Because I don't think they have a beef with the Lakers. They didn't lose to the Lakers. They just didn't meet the expectations for that matchup. The real beef comes on Christmas Day when they
get to play. What you mean? This is the battle for L.A.
No.
You got two contenders in one building.
But what I'm saying
is this is beef against the Lakers.
2 days later, they play against the Denver Nuggets, the team that knocked them out.
They're not worried about them.
Well, they should be.
They worried about the battle for L.A. and the respect, because when they go out to a restaurant, you got a Laker or a Clipper
in line, The Lakers could lose by 100, and it won't mean nothing. It won't be nothing. But that's what I'm saying. So for them, if you want to have a chip on your shoulder, don't look at the champion. Look at the team that knocked you out.
No, it's always going to be a battle for L.A.
Oh, yeah.
When you're a Clipper,
you
take the back seat all the time. You even play under the Lakers arena.
Yeah.
Until you get your arena and win a championship and get your identity, it's always going to be beef.
This is coming from a former Clipper.
Paul, ask
Richard which game he's calling on Christmas Day. Could it be Clippers Nuggets?
Not saying I wanted to give a little bit of foreshadowing, but I'm going to be doing a lot of conversation
around
that. But also the Miami New Orleans game. I'm the only individual.
You're going to make it to both arenas, huh?
Well, no, I'm just doing it remotely.
Okay.
They looked at all of the broadcast team. They said Mark Jackson, Van Gundy. They were just like, who likes their family the least? Who will want to work for 8 hours? 8 hours.
And we found him. It's good.
Do you think,
Kyrie said that the sage that he burned in Boston Garden was not just for Boston, that he wants to do it in every arena he's in before every game. Is there sage tonight, Richard?
This is real talk. Kyrie doesn't really want to talk about this. I don't really want to talk about this. I don't care if he burns sage. I don't care if guys are burning other stuff. I don't care what guys are eating. Like, I only really care about your performance on your court or how your approach affects your teammates. So, like, I don't care if somebody's burning sage. I don't care what anybody's doing.
To me, this is just another spectacle.
That's what I'm saying.
Another size show.
I said it at the top. If he plays the way he's playing, he can burn anything
Look, the NBA got rid of weed off their testing, so there's going to be things burned around all NBA arenas this year. Like, sage is the least of our worries.
For now. I want to switch gears because we have a very special announcement to make right here on The Jump.
What?
Drum roll, please. Producer Tommy. Hey, Paul Pierce.
What up?
Today is when they are announcing the next class of the Hall of Fame. And
I didn't know that.
Guess who's nominated?
Am I in there?
Pierce has been nominated for the Hall of Fame. Congratulations. Class of 2021.
As a competitor, I don't like you, but respect you. You know what I'm saying?
You've broken every social distance protocol.
Oh, we're not allowed to do
He's got to make it through the nomination process now.
At least I'm nominated.
Let's edit that out. Can we edit that out?
Live television.
Well, I'm happy to receive
but my
nomination.
I'm happy for him.
Paul, this is...
Now, listen this is a great honor to be recognized, even nominated. You know, it's like being nominated for a Grammy or Emmy. Just to be in the conversation is a great honor. Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
All right. We need you to call KG during the break and tell him it's not just him. We're going to be talking about this a little bit more. Stick with us, because coming up, we're going to share the rest of the finalists for the Naismith Hall of Fame exclusively here on The Jump. We'll give you some info on what the class of 2020 will be enshrined as well. Stick around for that. Welcome back. We indeed have breaking news coming out of the Hoop Hall. Here are some notable first-time nominees for the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame class of 2021.
Hoop?
Aside from Mr. Paul Pierce, we got four-time All-Star, former coach and ESPN analyst Doug Collins.
He was a problem.
Five-time champ Michael Cooper. 99 WNBA MVP, seven-time All-Star Yolanda Griffin.
Robin was a problem. Yeah.
Three-time WNBA MVP, seven times All-Star Lauren Jackson, and 10-time All-Star, 2008 Finals MVP, own Paul Pierce. Paul, now that you've had a couple minutes to let it sink in and reflect, what does it mean to be a finalist?
Just to be recognized, if I do make it, just to be recognized in basketball lore forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm long gone and away, you know, I always said, like, look, the Hall of Fame is forever. Having my number hung up in the Boston Garden is forever. So, I mean, it's a true honor if it were to happen, and I'm a blessed that I'm able to put time in on my craft and all the hard work, mornings, nights, that I can get to this point. And
look at Kirk's dance.
I always feel like the Hall of Fame is so cool because it does. It represents your whole life, right?
Yeah,
the sacrifices
your
mom made, all of the hours, the days you woke up in that winter in Kansas for the first time as an L.A. boy thinking, am I?
Get to that point, you literally have to have almost no life.
Yep.
Trust me. And I, for many years, I had fun here and there, but it was strictly business, and I'm happy that it's paying off.
Yeah. Continuing to pay off.
Yeah.
Still. Do you feel like this is it? Like MJ said, kind of like, yo, this is the end of the chapter, right? Like when basketball, once you make it into the Hall of Fame, that's it, right? Like there's nothing else to accomplish.
That's the end of your book right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the final stop. And I'm not sure if that was the goal going into it, but I just think with all the hard work and preservation, it ended up this way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you set goals. You just work as hard as you can and see where you're at.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the final chapter. Now I can, if I get nominated, I can start my book.
There we go. Start the book.
We've been nominated. We're going to work toward through this year as they finish the selection process, maybe get one of those spiffy orange jackets. Ooh. And if that happens, you'll have to think about your speech.
I know. I'm going to be super nervous.
Right? Yeah. It's gonna be a good ride.
There we go.
All right, here are some notable returning Hall of Fame nominees. Chauncey Billups, Chris Bosh, Swin Cash, Rip Hamilton, Becky Hammond, Bob Huggins,
How are some of these
Ben
not
Wallace,
in already?
Chris Webber, and J. Wright Richard. All right, I wanna make a case for some of these great players, starting with Mr. Big Shot.
Now, Big Shot, I would love to go in with Big Shot. Oh,
right?
My gosh. Me and Big Shot go way back to high school. We played together in a tournament in high school. I've been knowing Chauncey that. And then we played in the same conference in college where we both were on co-freshman of the year. So I would love, and then clearly Chauncey has been a model of professionalism and success in the NBA and out of the NBA. So,
And Chauncey's story is so dope because when he came in, it wasn't like immediate success.
No.
Like he had to bounce around a little bit and then he found his home. And then once he did it and once he got that team in Detroit, I still think that Detroit team doesn't get nearly as much credit going to five straight conference finals.
Yep.
Two NBA finals, winning a championship against the legend Lakers that had Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Kobe, Shaq. So it's like, Chauncey and what he meant for that time period. He was one of the most dominant players. Their team was one of the most dominant teams over an era.
I was going to say, he was the leader of a team that certainly gave a bunch of character to an era of basketball. Mm-hmm. And your point about his path, I mean, he came in with high expectations, then supposedly didn't meet them, bounced around, ended up superseding those expectations by being a finals MVP and a champion. And I think the Hall of Fame needs players like that. It can't just be the guys who were incredible from day one, because that's not what the NBA NBA or basketball this game is made up out of. So I really hope he gets the nod this year. All right, Paul, make the case for Chris Bosh because he should get in too.
Yeah, he's had a great run. It started in Toronto with him averaging like 20 and 10 plus a year. And then he goes to Miami, wins championships. He's probably the best third option in NBA history. When you talk about LeBron being first and Wade being second, two guys who are probably top. LeBron is probably going to be the best small forward ever. Mm-hmm. Wade is probably going to go down as like top three, two guards ever. Yeah. So, you know, for him to fall into that role and thrive, and he's the reason they beat us the one year in Miami. He knocked down a quarter three that's still in my nightmares. Yeah. I still remember that.
Well, and it's sacrifice, right? Like, that's when you want to be a champion. You have to sacrifice things. So he proved that that sacrifice was worth it. So, I like, Chris Bosh definitely needs
multiple
to be in.
All-star yeah. games,
Chris Bosh is everywhere. A Hall of Famer.
He still should be playing.
I'm going to keep saying Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer. And, Richard, I know you agree with me that Chris Webber is a Hall of Famer. Too.
Look, that's the funny thing. When we talk about the NBA and then you talk about the Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame is everything that you have contributed to the game of basketball. Number one player coming out of high school. Fab Five, one of the most impactful names in the game of basketball. And then Rookie of the Year and all the things that he did while he was playing. Obviously, a knee injury, shortened his career a little bit, but Chris Webber deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
And everything you contribute to basketball, he sold a lot of shoes, too. A
lot of shoes. Those Percy Webb shoes were my favorite to this day.
He sold a lot of shoes.
Shout out my Uncle Robert for giving
me that's a contribution to basketball.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the 2021 class. The 2020 class, as we know, still hasn't been enshrined yet due to coronavirus, and we have some news on that front, too. The Naismith Hall of Fame class of 2020 enshrinement will be held May 13th through the 15th of next year. The class is headlined by the late Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Tamika Catchings, and Coach Rudy Tomjanovich. Paul, I'm fast-forwarding. I think it's January already.
I'm going to be so disappointed if this class is inducted virtually because I really need to be here to see these speeches from KG. I need to be there front and center.
Right.
Like, oh, man. I mean, this guy is the epitome of hard work. Discipline and just tenacity. Yeah. I mean, come on. Is there anybody more competitive than KG in the history of the NBA? If so, then let me know. I know Kobe was competitive, Gary Payton, but nobody showed the competitive drive more than him.
I don't know what they're going to do for Kobe's enshrinement if Vanessa is asked to speak again. I mean, she was so remarkable at Kobe's memorial service. I don't know if she'll speak. I don't know if someone else will speak, but wow.
Yeah. Two of those guys came out of high school.
Hall of Famer. Then Tim Duncan. There was a little bit of slander going on the internet the last couple of days, like Anthony Davis is better than Tim Duncan.
Come on.
Come on. Like, Anthony Davis is a bad, bad man, but you really need to look at this man's resume. I don't know if there's going to be another individual that will come through start to finish with that type of resume that Tim Duncan has.
Oh, so much good stuff. Paul, congratulations.
Thank you.
Again, we are really, really proud. All right, after the break, we're going to share Adam Silver's comments about the idea of maybe adding more teams to the league. Does this open the door for the Seattle Sonics back? Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, still joined by Richard Jefferson, Paul Pierce. It felt like everybody got a contract extension yesterday. Well, almost everybody. Here are some of the notables. The Clippers extended Luke Kennard for 4 years. The Raptors gave OG Anunoby 4 years and $72 million. The Magic locked up Jonathan Isaac despite his injury. And they also came to terms with Markel Fultz on a 3-year, $50 million extension.
Okay, Markel.
Right? Paul, what did it look like to you to see the Magic show this kind of faith in the former number one pick where there was a point where he was, you know, he couldn't even get on the court?
Yeah, I mean, more power to you, you know, for them to show this type of, like, hey, commitment to a guy who's still, who we don't really know who he's going to be in the league. I mean, that says a lot of how much they believe in him going forward. He's still a young a prospect with room to grow, and so that's what they're betting on.
Well, and this is where we talked about Chauncey Billups.
Right.
It's like just because you enter into the league in your first situation, whether it's because of injury or just not the right dynamic, Chauncey went on to be a Hall of Famer. Like, Markel Fultz has the talent. He was a number one pick. That means all of the GMs had him top three. All of the GMs had
except
him top
for
three. He had him like two or three. That's why I said top three. But just good for him. Like, yo, continue working in your craft. It doesn't matter what other people say. Your first destination is not how it always is going to end up.
Yes, right. And I would say to shout out from me, because it is easier to have it all come easy. It is hard when it is harder. And I really admire what Markell has done. All right, Lauri Markkanen, John Collins, and Lonzo Ball, however, among the notable players not extended. They were eligible, but their teams could not come to terms. They will all become restricted free agents after this season. Richard, I want to ask you about Lonzo Ball specifically. Should he feel slighted about not getting extended, or should he feel excited because the free agent market next summer is actually a little more dry than we anticipated, and he could be even restricted, one of the bigger names out there?
Well, he can, and this is what people need to understand. Lonzo Ball's like impact is not just on the court. There's a lot of GMs, a lot of teams over there that he has a star power to him. He will put people in the seats. He will sell jerseys, whether it's because of his brother, his overall name. So, yes, while New Orleans might have said, hey, your value to us is 12, another team might say, your value to us is 15. So he's just going to be a restricted free agent. I think that's a good idea.
Listen, when you're on that rookie deal, you can't wait to get extended.
Can't wait.
So, like, if the extension doesn't come, he's probably disappointed, especially when you see the other guys getting this type of money, and you're like, shoot, I'm at least worth what some of these guys on the list are worth.
But what if they offered him 75 and he was like,
no. Not, after your rookie contract, you are not turning that down.
What?
Unless you got a lucrative, like, shoe deal like LeBron had. He could have waited until he
be a well, it depends on what agent. They're offering, though,
no,
right?
I'm disappointed if I'm him. And that shit. Have him with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, for the rest of the season, like, y'all don't want to extend me? Okay, I'm going to show y'all why y'all should extend me. And that's motivation. And as players, you should use these type of things to motivate you to make you a better player.
Yeah. Right, even if it was that they did make him an offer, but he felt it wasn't enough. And so, yes, he can use that as motivation. All right, let's get to Commissioner Adam Silver, who made some very interesting comments on potential expansion yesterday. Now, he's always sort of just flat out dismissed this in the past, which is why this is such a departure and everyone is reading everything they can into it. Quote, it is sort of the manifest destiny of the league that you expand at some point. And then specifically talking about the pandemic, he said we've been putting a little bit more time into it, dusting off, he said, the analyses of what it would mean to expand than they had been pre-pandemic. But certainly we're not at the point that expansion is on the front burner. All right, so that last sentence is important because people in Seattle were looking to sell tickets as of this morning. And y'all got to slow your roll, but hopefully not too long. Richard, the league hasn't issued an expansion team since 2002, 18 years.
Please,
where
God.
Where would you want to see expansion, and
please,
why is it Seattle?
Please, God, bring back a team to Seattle. Like, please, like, this is what I'm saying. We can have a conversation, and we can agree to disagree.
It's
usually two teams that
they bring in, though. So you can talk about where else.
But we can't agree to disagree because you're wrong. Seattle needs a team there. You played there. Yes. I played there. It is one of the best basketball places. And it was. And the reason why the team left was because of politics, not what you saw in Brooklyn, and they couldn't get people in the stands, and they needed to shift. It was pure, like, obviously, billion-dollar politics, but that's why they left. I don't care who the second team is. I just want a team back in Seattle.
Yeah, well, I really feel there's two destinations. Mm-hmm. One is definitely Seattle. Mm-hmm. Great fan base. Great sports city.
Right.
I mean, they just won the WNBA championship up there. Again.
Amen.
The Seattle Seahawks are
huge. 12th man.
They're great every year. A contender to win the championship. They need this. The other city is Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see how Las Vegas is expanding. I mean, you have the Raiders are there now.
Of course.
They got WNBA. And I've even heard rumors that they're building a baseball stadium. That's just a rumor. You know,
they want it all there.
They'll build anything
so
in Las Vegas.
This is another
city. I'll take Vancouver before I take Vegas.
Why is that?
Like, what? Because I don't need a reason to go to Vegas.
I would love to see the NBA back in Vancouver.
What?
So I'm going to...
I mean, Vancouver's fine. That's where my draft was, and it's a lot of fun. But it's not Las Vegas. Let's be real.
I think Vegas...
I mean, it's better for the economy.
I don't think our guys are quite mature enough yet.
Well, that is a question, right? Look, there was no professional sports teams in Las Vegas for a long time. People were worried about gambling. Obviously, the attitude about gambling among professional sports leagues has grossly shifted over the last 5 to 10 years. And we now, of course, have the NFL team there.
Hockey team just went to the finals last year.
Look, it's Seattle. It's Seattle and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle is where we start, and then everybody else can argue over that next team.
Mm. Seattle, and then also Seattle. Coming up, it's our Lakers 2020-2021 season preview. We've been doing all the teams, and now it's time to get to the champs. We have a few questions about them. Chief among them is the question everyone's asking. Will they go back to back? Stick around. You're watching The Jump. All right, we're skipping the cliffhanger that we normally do. Since the Lakers won the title, we know how it ended. But let's get straight to the plot twist. It begins with the Lakers prying Montrezl Harrell, sixth man of the year, away from the rival Clippers. They also traded for Dennis Schroeder, acquired Marc Gasol. Richard, what do you think these additions bring to the defending champs?
Okay, so the one issue with the Lakers, people talked about their bench and their second unit and could they score when Bron was out of the game. That's including with AD on the court. They weren't, their offensive efficiency wasn't that great. My thing is, it's very rare that the defending champions can win the offseason. But in order to win the offseason, in my opinion, guys like Montrez and Schroeder are going to have to make sacrifices. This isn't the Clippers. This isn't OKC. Mm-hmm. You have to fit into what they're doing and then excel while fitting in. So that'll be the one question for the Lakers as they repeat this year.
Yeah, talent-wise, they got better. But when I look at those names they lost, you know, you lost Rondo, who was a championship player.
Yeah,
leader. You know, he understood the moment. Mm-hmm. Danny Green, he's a championship player. He understands the moment. JaVale McGee, another championship
player.
And those type of experience, having that in your locker room is very valuable, more valuable than talent sometimes. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, but now you got a room full of champions.
Yeah, now you have a room full of championships. But, you know, when it comes down to it, and you got these guys, they're going to be getting big minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know, when they get deep in the playoffs, I like those guys that got that type of experience, who understand the moment. But it's always good to have fresh energy, the guys who aren't bored with the moment, guys who are hungry for that
first championship.
First championship. So that's also a plus also to having these guys.
Well, look, we usually see when a team wins a title, they end up somewhat overpaying some of their guys the next summer, right? Because everybody whose deal is up is like, well, hey, I was a big part of this. Like, you gotta pay me too, and that kind of thing. And no one wants to break up a championship team. And those contracts can sometimes end up weighing on that team as it tries to repeat or go forward. The Lakers took a different approach. They were like, enjoy the big payoff that you're gonna get from having just won a ring somewhere else.
Yeah.
We will be stocking some new blood here.
They just bullied the free agency.
Yeah, they did.
They were just like, come on.
The Trez and
And we don't even talk about Gasol.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the bench is a problem. Okay, well, we're going to go get the sixth man and the runner-up for the sixth man that are both 28 years old.
And a former defensive player of the year and a champion.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Must be nice to be in L.A., be a Laker, and have LeBron James. Here are a few games that the Lakers fans should binge-watch this season. Tonight against the Clippers, big one. Christmas Day against the Mavericks, two that, of course, immediately jump off the page. Paul, should the Lakers be on upset alert against Luka and the Mavs on Christmas?
Man, Lakers has got championship hangover. Man, they're not even worried about this game like the Clippers are. If they lose, so what? It's another game. You know, the Lakers is going to be there when it counts.
Lakers ain't,
please believe that.
They ain't worried about home court. They ain't worried about anything.
Nah.
They're worried about getting to game 60 healthy and intact, and then they'll worry about everything else.
So no Kristaps Porzingis on Christmas Day.
I'll change that. They're going to be up for this game.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be games like they're going to coast through the regular season, but the big games, the national games, they'll be up for this one.
Yeah. LeBron versus Luka.
LeBron, I expect
has
LeBron
been
to put on
fireworks.
The show.
Oh, he knows.
That's must-see TV, by the way.
LeBron sees Luka, and it's just like, okay, like, you're that guy. Like, you're one of the people that I want to. Same with Zion, Tatum. He sees those guys, and he's like, I'm going to continue sending a message every single time that we play against each other just to let him know. You know, when you went against MJ, is this one of the young boys? Okay, I'm going to go at him every time because I know LeBron, he's going to come at me.
LeBron gave him a nice triple-double the last time he played, I remember.
But Luka's giving him triple-doubles back, too, over the past few games.
You got to get the win.
I totally agree. It's just interesting to me because Luka clearly patterned so much of his game on the way LeBron plays. I mean, literally had him on his wall when he was growing up. We're reaching that point with players coming into the league.
When idols become rivals.
Exactly. And so it's so fun to me to see them go at each other because of the styles there. All right, spoiler alert time for the Lakers. They have the shortest odds to win an NBA title this season, according to Caesars William Hill. Not a surprise, Richard. Do you see the Lakers repeating as champions? What is your official call?
I always say this. I always preface this with health. If the Lakers are healthy, they will be the champion. Like, it's going to be too much. I like the Brooklyn Nets, but again, health is going to be a concern for them because they have two guys coming off of injuries and major injury in Kevin Durant. So Brooklyn, I could see them making it to the finals, and then I think Milwaukee and Nets in the finals, but I think the Lakers are the champions.
That would be a fun NBA finals.
That would be a great NBA finals.
They were the favorite last year, but they should be the overwhelmingly favorite this year. If I didn't think they was going to do it, I guarantee they will this year. And so, like he said, if they're healthy, they should win the title with this roster they have.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see starting tonight. Coming up, guys, Kawhi Leonard made it clear he is very focused on this season. Gave some insight, though, on his player option for next offseason. Will he be a Clipper long term? We will tell you all about that next. Welcome back to The Jump. After the shortest offseason in the history of North American pro sports, the NBA returns tonight. One of the biggest stories surrounding the Clippers is Kawhi Leonard's player option after this season. Here is what Kawhi said when asked about it yesterday. This is interesting. Take a listen.
Just for my situation right now, I'm just focused on this season. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I'm going anywhere else or staying here, but I'm just focused on the season. And, you know, obviously for, you know, if I stay healthy, the best decision is to decline a player option, but that doesn't mean I'm leaving or staying. But I'm focused on the season, like I said. We'll talk about that when the time is right.
So that's really interesting. He said, if I'm healthy, the best decision is to decline the player option, basically because that would make him a free agent. And even if it's staying with the Clippers, get lots more money next offseason. Hearing that and knowing that Kawhi obviously went through the season in Toronto, remember all the Kawhi and Dine and all the sort of moves the city made to keep him? He's comfortable going through that and then picking up and going somewhere else if he has to.
I don't think Kawhi's going anywhere. I think he's just going to... you know, ensure his chances on getting a bigger bag, you know, which he will get because the team committed to Paul George, another veteran who they want to pair him with. Now, say he gets injured this year, he's out. Regardless, they're still going to re-sign him because they put all the eggs in this basket to make this run for the next 5 years with these two guys. And he's just going to maximize, you know, his pay scale. He's going to maximize that. That's all he's trying to do. This is the last big bag he's going to probably get.
Yeah.
And so he's going to maximize it totally, and I don't see him going anywhere.
Do you know why Paul George signed that extension? Because he's not Kawhi Leonard, right? Because he's not Kawhi Leonard. He's like, all right, let me get this money in the bag, right? Kawhi could have signed his extension and could have done that. But Kawhi's like, look, I want to keep my options open because when you do this, you know what you do? You make the Clippers stare at you the whole time. What do you need? What do you want? Once you commit it, it's like, all right, it's like you got that ring on your finger. Like, all right, you're stuck with me. But now they're focused on getting him what they want. Now he knows that they're going to try and go and sign players or go over the cap, all the things necessary to be a champion. And so I think he did it as a strategic move. I don't know Kawhi. Don't nobody know what Kawhi is doing, but if he's healthy, he'll be a free agent.
And look, if we look at that 2021 free agent class, Giannis is no longer on the board, and you had so many teams that were kind of saving some cap room just in case, right?
Well, so
a bunch of guys got extended yesterday, even restricted free agents, not going to be on the board to the same degree. So Kawhi basically saying, hey, unless there's something I don't expect, I will be that top guy on the board.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of teams that were saving room for someone else who might be like, well, we could at least try. We could at least throw money at him.
Yeah.
And the Clippers, of course, as you say, Paul, will try as well to keep him. All right, a little bit more Clippers for you because on Sunday, Ty Lue said he plans to use Kawhi in more triangle offense sets in a similar way to the Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan were used by Phil Jackson. Of course, Ty has personal experience there. Richard, those are lofty comparisons, but what would you expect Kawhi in a triangle to look like? Would you expect him to do well in that?
Well, I think they're lofty comparisons, but I think at Kawhi's prime, when he's at his best, like, I think you can compare him, right? And not, I wouldn't say whole career, but I think it's more about how you allow players to score. And they have always said that the triangle offense isn't about the primary score. It's about guys around them getting a rhythm, getting a feel. And I think that was something that the Clippers lost. It was like, yeah, we can be Kawhi and we can be Paul, but it's like, where do the other guys fit in on there? So a lot of times when they're saying, oh, we're going to play him out of the triangle, that's to get other players their rhythm and system kind of feel. So when he says that about Kawhi, he's really talking about how to get Morris and Kennard and all of these other guys in a rhythm.
Yeah, I think his game really fits the triangle offense because if you look at how he operates on the offensive end, he's great in those spaces at the elbow, at the mid post, where you get one or two dribbles and he goes into his mid-range shot. And then it gives him an opportunity to get movement around him so where he can make plays with his passing and get better at that. So I applaud that Lou is looking at these different variations of the offense to try to make him the best player that he can be, because he's their best player. And if you can have your best player comfortable within the offense, it makes for a better team. And so I think that's a great move right there. Not all game long, but like some portions of the game.
And we got to get Paul George some pick and rolls.
I mean, I think he had more pick and rolls last year than he's had his whole career.
Richard.
What? What? We can't joke here.
I think Paul George would be great in the triangle also.
Yeah.
I mean, great slasher. He can post. There's one or two dribbles to the rim. I think that's awesome.
All right. We got some late breaking news from producer Danny in my ear right now. He said that the Lakers have announced that they are going to wait until fans are back in the building to unveil their championship banner. So rings are scheduled to be given out tonight.
I mean, they got 17 of them.
I say, we'll wait.
I mean, they got 16.
There's no rush.
I thought Celtics fans aren't counting all the Lakers.
They're counting.
I mean,
they're
definitely counting.
All right, before we go, Steph Curry said this about playing with Kevin Durant. Quote, "The great ones bring the best out of you." So, Richard, Curry, Durant, tonight, what are you expecting before we go?
I think Steph is going to have the heaviest load he's ever had to carry, and it's going to be interesting to watch him go out there, and he's going to have to average 30 in order for their team to be highly competitive. And so without Klay, especially without Draymond, that means he's the primary ball handler, he's the primary creator, and the primary scorer. Probably the secondary scorer also. So I think this is going to be a great year for Steph because he's going to have to do so much.
So he's going to have to pull a James Harden, you're saying?
Not the dribble at the top of the key.
No, but I'm saying he has to carry that
team. He's got to carry the team, and that was a lot of criticism on Steph. Could he carry a team the same way that some of these other superstars have?
Yeah, I think he's going to put up big staff. I don't think he's going to be as efficient as he has had in the past because he doesn't have the same spacing when you have guys like KD, Draymond, Klay Thompson out there. But he's going to put up big numbers, I believe, also. Yeah.
James Wiseman available tonight. Steve Kerr would not give out his starting lineup, but again, Draymond out. What do you expect to see from Wiseman?
I think Wiseman, Steve said that he was going to keep it very, very simple. Run to the front of these guys. He played one game in high school or one game in college, not really got an opportunity to train. So it's just roll to the rim, be a rim protector. We're just going to keep it A, B, and C for the young player and allow him to develop into his game.
Roll to the rim.
That's
what you want him to do all night.
No, that's what they're going to do for the young fella.
Hey, man, just set screens and roll tonight. Number two pick, you just want him to set screens and roll.
Nominee Paul Pierce, congratulations.
That's what Steve said.
I'll be back tomorrow. Happy opening night.
Number two pick.